from the House of Representatives, March 1st, 2017. Message number 453. Mr. President, the House did concur on the following Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the votes indicated. House Bill number 130, ayes 60. Message 454, House Bill 280, vehicle registration requirements. Ayes 41, noes 19. Message number 455, House Bill 116, abortion amendments. Ayes 48, noes 12. House Bill 153, parental rights. Ayes 53, noes 7. House Bill 253, economic development account funding. Ayes 50, noes 10. Message number 458, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, the House adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act. Ayes 36, noes 24. Message number 459. The House adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on House Bill 159, Homeless Minors. Ayes 43, noes 17. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, we're at that order of business, signing of enrolled acts. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up here, please, while I'm getting them? Okay. Senate Enrolled Act number 66.
Senate Enrolled Act number 66, being original Senate File 21, an act relating to vital records.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 66, being original Senate File number 21. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 67.
Senate Enrolled Act number 67, being original Senate File 115, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 67, being original Senate File number 115. Oops. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 68.
Senate Enrolled Act number 68, being original Senate File 99, an act relating to community health centers and rural health clinics.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 68, being original Senate File number 99. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 69.
Senate Enrolled Act number 69, being original Senate File 14, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 69, being original Senate File 14. I have so signed House Enrolled Act 85.
House Enrolled Act number 85, being original House Bill 11, an act relating to the Department of Revenue.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 85, being original House Bill number 11. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 86.
House Enrolled Act number 86, being original House Bill 15, an act relating to sex offender registration.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 86, being original House Bill number 15. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 87.
House Enrolled Act number 87, being original House Bill 186, an act relating to improvement and service districts.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 87, being original House Bill number 186. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 88.
House Enrolled Act number 88, being original House Bill 235, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 88, being original House Bill number 235. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 89.
House Enrolled Act number 89, being original House Bill 266, an act relating to the Department of Audit.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 89, being original House Bill number 266. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 90.
House Enrolled Act number 90, being original House Bill 182, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 90, being original House Bill number 182. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 91.
House Enrolled Act number 91, being original House Bill 271, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 91, being original House Bill number 271. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 92. Whoops.
House Enrolled Act number 92, being original House Bill 241, an act relating to criminal history records.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 92, being original House Bill number 241. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 93.
House Enrolled Act number 93, being original House Bill 194, an act relating to school safety and security.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 93, being original House Bill number 194. I have so signed. Anything else we could do? We got a couple members that got amendments up. Let's do some joint conference committee reports. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Senator Scott. Okay, we'll do joint conference committee reports for a second here. Senator Coe, are you ready for joint conference committee report number one to House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act?
I am, Mr. President.
Will the reading clerk please read that in?
Joint Conference Committee No. 1 Report, House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, reference Senate Message No. 325, signed by Representatives Wanitzer and Giroux, Senators Coe, Anderson, and Kinski.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report, reference Senate Message 325, having been original House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, and ask the body to vote aye and defer to Senator Kinski for an explanation.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, folks, if you will grab Senate message number 325, I will step you very quickly through the Joint Conference Committee report, which we think effects a full and fair resolution of all issues between the bodies. It also reflects input from the various stakeholders. To borrow a phrase from my friend from Bates Creek, both the predator and the prey. Page 1, line 4, it says, after skiers delete the balance of the line, the balance of the line that is being deleted is a reference to the statute of limitations that was contained in the bill. You'll recall that the bill was amended to change it from a 2-year statute of limitations to a 4-year statute of limitations, and it was agreed in conference, since that's already the law of the land, having a reference to a 4-year statute in the bill was redundant, so it's deleted. And that is the net effect of page 1, line 5, the next section. The next reference is page 1, line 12, is simply a renumbering to reflect the fact that a paragraph has been deleted. Then page 3, line 12, you'll see it says, after components, insert subject to 11123.3K. This is the padding paragraph. So you'll recall that on page 3, line 12, there was a reference to man-made structures and their components, and we inserted in the Senate and the House accepted a paragraph that says, provided they're properly padded, and we'll come to some minor tinkering with that language here in a moment. Then you come to page 3, line 20. It says delete or ski. And page 3, line 21, it says delete ski area vehicles. So in the original bill, We said one of the inherent hazards was collisions with other skiers or ski area vehicles. The reference to collisions with ski area vehicles being an inherent risk of skiing is now deleted as a consequence of the Joint Conference Committee report, and the ski areas assented to that deletion. So then page 5, line 15, it says delete 1236 and renumber as 1235. And then page 8, after line 12, this is the same language, the padding language that was inserted here in the Senate with some minor changes on the other side. And I'll, if you turn to, well, I will now walk you very quickly through what those changes were. Some three phrases were deleted and one phrase was added. So originally, our language said a ski area operator shall mark hydrants, water pipes, and all other man-made structures on slopes and trails, which are, and we said readily visible. That was struck in the conference committee, so it now just says are not visible to skiers under conditions of ordinary visibility from a distance of 100 feet, and shall, and we said adequately and appropriately cover. The words adequately, appropriately are gone, and it says shall cover the structures. With a shock-absorbent material, we originally said that will lessen injuries. That's been struck and now says a shock-absorbent material, and added was shock-absorbent material typically used by ski area operators for this purpose. The balance of the language in subparagraph K is unchanged. Turning now to page 2 of the conference committee report, on page 8, line 14, we delete the subparagraph K and insert M. That's simply a renumbering. Page 10, lines 9 through 15, delete entirely. That's the reference to the statute of limitations. So it's, in some respects, it's some significant changes of consequence, but it was, overall, we're very pleased that after several meetings, we were able to come up with this Joint Conference Committee report and urge your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? The motion is to adopt, or Senator Scott, I'm sorry.
Mr. President, I'm wondering, we have a member or two absent and should be readily fetchable. I think they're down at a signing ceremony with the governor. I'm wondering, should we lay this vote back a little bit, or do we need to have a call to the Senate?
I don't think we're going to have a call, but that motion is in order if you want to have a call of the Senate, but I don't know that you really want to do that.
Mr. President, I am concerned, but I think if I talk for, no. Mr. President, I do think it's important. If I don't know what this conference committee's contentions or not, but I do think it is quite important to one of the absent senators.
Well, Senator Scott, we could do like we used to do in the House, just offer a straw poll and everybody could raise their hand, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
Mr. President, I am going to ask for a call of the Senate then.
No, Senator Scott, before you have a call of the Senate, let's just stand in recess till the sound of the gavel. While we're waiting, Senator Perkins, and where's Senator Von Flatern? Come up here, please. You're hiding, Senator Perkins. Yeah, Senator Perkins and Von Flatern. Senator Case, while we're waiting, do you have your baseball mitt? So who's the first baseman to the pitcher, Senator Case? So that'd be, Senator Kinski, I hear, is a good catcher. He catches it all. Or maybe it's Senator Offus. Senator Scott, is everybody here? Where's Larry? No, the other Larry, the Sergeant at Arms. Okay. I believe we have 30 senators. I see him. I see Senator Lannan. He's not down fixing his drawer. Okay. The motion is to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, Senator Offus.
Mr. President, I actually had a question on it, and I don't know if we got the full explanation of the changes before we paused, but with regard to the visibility and the language change, as I'm reading this now, I'm trying to understand if there's any requirement that there be a cover or any shock-absorbent material on any man-made structure that I can see from over 100 feet away. And I'm taking it as there's never a requirement as long as I can see it from 100 feet away. I just want to make sure I'm understanding how that was changed.
Anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? There being none, further discussion? We're voting on Joint Conference. The motion is to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, being Senate Message Number 325. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 aye, 7 no.
By your vote, you voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report to Number 1 to House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, Senate Message Number 325. Senator Dockstetter, are you ready for Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 159, Homeless Minors?
Mr. President, I move...
No. Are you ready?
Oh, yes. Yes, Mr. President.
Please read it in.
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, House Bill 159, Homeless Minors, reference Senate Message Number 374, signed by Representatives Lindholm, Freeman, and Winters, Senators Dockstetter, Anderson, and Boner.
Senator Dockstetter.
Mr. President, my message number isn't matching the message number that we just read in, so...
It should be message number 374.
74, all right. Well, Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Report, message 374 to... House Bill 159.
Members of the Senate, the issue on this bill was the use of the clergy in signing, helping to verify the documents that were signed. So the two committees came together, met over the differences that stemmed from the Senate removing the ability for a member of the clergy to sign the affidavit for these minors. Our colleagues from down the hall wanted to retain some ability for the members of the clergy to be included. So the compromise was that we'd address the concern of removing the clergy because it was just centered around whether they were actually certified clergy. We decided that the answer came in certification by requiring the clergy members to sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury that they actually were what they are. They're clergy, and that was a full agreement with everybody involved in the committee, and so I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 159, Homeless Minors, reference Senate Message Number 374. And you've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye, you vote to adopt the Conference Committee Report. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Excused.
Hastert excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you've adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 159, Homeless Minors, being original Senate Message Number 374. Are there any messages, any?
Anything else?
Third reading. House bills will continue that now. House Bill 218, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 218, Motor Vehicle Registration Fees, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
We do have several amendments. Will the reading clerk please read in the First Amendment?
House Bill 218, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 4.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 218. Mr. President, this amendment relates to the second reading amendment we adopted yesterday, and as that was being presented, I went through it and said, gee, it's moving everything in the right direction, except I noticed there was one place it didn't. And I said, well, it's still better than the bill was, so I've supported it. But I promised myself I'd come around and correct the one mistake. And that's what this amendment does. The amendment yesterday raised the fee, the registration fee for ordinary passenger car by $5. This amendment does what should have happened in the one yesterday and takes it down by $5. So the net effect is to be less onerous on the passenger cars, Mr. President, that most of our constituents drive. And let me just give you the figures. It makes a $2.2 million difference, I'm told, for every $5 we change this figure. So if this amendment passes, the tax increase on the ordinary citizens for their passenger car totals $2.2 million across the state. The bill as it came to us from the House was at $4.4 million, whereas at $25 million. The bill with the amendment that we put on yesterday, that this removing, increased that to a $6.6 million increase. And I hope I've got those figures right, Mr. President. Those are the ones I have as to the impact of it. So it still leaves the ordinary passenger car with some increase, but their tax will only go up by $5 instead of doubling to $30 as it would with the amendment we adopted yesterday. So with that, it's a matter of philosophy. I would urge the Senate to adopt this amendment. We don't need to put an extra tax increase on our average citizens.
For the discussion, we're all jumping up. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. Fellow senators, if you take out your little smart device, it's pretty easy to do. You can just Google a spot where you can figure out a cost of living, and I did that on this particular amendment. As you know, it hadn't been changed for a long time. Just cost of living. If we were going to just do a cost of living and put it at the same spot that it was back in 1975, it would be at $68. And knowing that we will probably live with whatever that figure is on the orange sheet, whichever one we decide upon, we'll live with that for the next 40 years. It just seems to me like if we're going to do this, we ought to do it in the right spot, and reducing that figure is not the right spot. Thank you, Mr. President.
General Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, I agree with what my good friend from Natrona County just said about how difficult it will be to change it later. But just imagine the wrath this body is going to have to suffer when we only raise passenger cars to $20, but we've got the motorcyclists up to $25 on line 9. I don't want to have to live through that, Mr. President. On and against the amendment.
Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, how to have your thunder stolen by someone that stands up faster. That was my answer. The very start of this, what he talked about fixing, the one category that did not take a full raise was the passenger vehicles. And so what I did yesterday was brought it back to where it should have been at the start. It was overlooked to start with. This is also our biggest class. We got to all understand that. This is our biggest class. That's why the dollar amounts are there. And, you know, by doing this, $5 or $10 to pay for your part of keeping the highways up. And I realize the cars do less, but if you pass this, he's exactly right. Motorcycles and your little light trailers, your little motorcycle trailer and little wire trailer is going to pay more than your car does now. This is not equity and it's not right. There's other ways to fix this.
Okay. Anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? There being none, Senator Scott, for your second time.
Well, Mr. President, if I'm going to get Russ Zimmer's truck revved up, I'm going to put some fuel in the tank and ask for the yeas and nays.
Okay.
Mr. President, it really comes down to a matter of our citizens. I hear a lot of complaints about the magnitude of the registration taxes that we impose on them, because you do have the property tax on this bill as well, not on the legislation, but on the bill that you got to pay. And it does really hurt, and it offends our citizens, and I think rightly so. So I think that we shouldn't put the additional raise on the passenger car. I think it's a tax increase that's going to hurt some of our citizens, and I think we ought to keep it as low as possible, and that's what this amendment does, Mr. President.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 218. The yeas and nays have been called for. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard? No. Burns?
No.
No. Case? Aye. Christensen? No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert, excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon? No. Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
Aye.
Pappas? No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Baumflatern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 4 aye, 25 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 218 has failed. Reading clerk, please read in the next amendment.
House Bill 218, third reading amendment number 2, page 2, line 20.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 218, and after that last vote, I'm not sure I want to do this, but we'll try it.
Question.
That was quick. So this goes into page 2, line 20. And it removes $5. So presently it says $30, insert $25. On page 2, line 23, same thing on the 3,500, 4,500 pounds. It deletes the $40 that's presently there and makes it $35. Then it goes on to page 3, and it takes $5 off of each of those. But it has to delete the Driscoll second reading amendment to this line and further amend as follows. So it deletes the $60 and inserts $45, which is presently at $60. And it deletes the next one down to $70, which is presently at, insert $65, which is down to $70. And page 3, line 9, it was $90 on the last amendment, and now it's down at $85. So this really takes $5 off of those five categories of registration. A little bit less burdensome, but a little less burdensome for those that own many trailers or could own many trailers. So with that, Mr. President, I ask for a favorable recommendation or a favorable vote.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just a real quick question. What is the fiscal impact of this amendment?
Just a second, Senator Von Flader.
Oh, yes.
Senator Driscoll.
Footnote is 3.890 million. A reduction of 3.8 million. I have it in my hand.
Just a second, Senator Driscoll. Stand up and address the chair, and I'll give you the opportunity to speak again.
Mr. President, the amendment will reduce revenues by 3.890 million, $3.9 million.
Okay. Further discussion? Ready for the question? You want to call for the ayes and nays? They've been called for. Senator Driscoll.
I'd like to speak on this still. This is just as bad as the last deal. We're back to deal. I'm going to read real quick. I realize we're going to do this fast. Here's what's happened to YDOT revenues since 2007. General fund, 2007, $227 million. 9, $232 million. 2011, $114 million. 2013, $118 million. 2015, $70 million. 2017, $18 million. And now we're going to take them to zero. That's what this does. This gets them off the general fund, leaves it where they can do the job they've done. I encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Okay. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 218. The ayes and nays have been called for. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
No.
Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? No. Co?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
Pappas? No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Yeah.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye.
Bebout? No, I'm not going to change my vote. Bebout, aye.
Bebout, aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 aye, 21 no, 1 excused.
Third reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 218 has failed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion. Question being called for. House Bill 218 have been read two separate times. Oh, no, excuse me. House Bill 218 have been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen? Christensen, no. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter? No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert excused. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Driscoll? Aye to no. Closing vote. Ellis, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 16 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
Is that 16 ayes? House Bill 218, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 218 has passed the Senate. Mr. Vice President, would you please come up here?
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill 230 engrossed hemp farming, sponsored by Representative Laux, an act relating to food and drugs.
There are no amendments. Is there a 230 amendment? I got 236. Right here. Okay. We do have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 230, third reading amendments number 1 to engrossed copy, page 5 after line 10.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 230 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. Vice President, the AG got a hold of us and the law enforcement folks, and they said they needed a little clarification, and that had to do with a particular ruling here about bed bugs and Casper a few years ago, and about whether or not things were could be communicated between one agency to law enforcement. And so we wanted to make clear that that was the case. In the first part of the amendment, we go into the enforcement, compliance, and penalties area, and it's a little cleanup. We add hemp seeds because we had added that to the bill. We wanted to make sure that was in the enforcement's compliant and penalty provisions. Then on the paragraph A of that, or section A of that section, we added the language, the department may communicate with law enforcement regarding facts and circumstances involving the department's sampling, examination, and supervision, which law enforcement may use in obtaining a search warrant. So it makes it clear that the agency can communicate with law enforcement. Law enforcement can use that communication to establish, I guess it's probable cause is what they establish when they go to a court to ask for a search warrant. And so it's clear that that communication can exist in these circumstances. And so with that explanation, I would stand for questions. If not, we don't have any, I'd call for the question. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 230. Seeing none, are you all in? Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 230. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 230 has passed the Senate, or has it been adopted? We're back on the bill. Is there further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Briefly, Mr. Vice President, folks, to go back on why, I guess in the beginning, what talked about why this bill was really necessary is that it gives the option for basically another crop, an alternative crop for folks in agriculture. There's 32 other states that have already moved toward this area. There's a potential for this crop to be grown, I think, in probably every county in the state. We've got it structured so that the Department of Agriculture is going to do rules for a year and get everything in order. And then the other part of the bill is delayed until after we meet again, so the other part of the bill will not be active until July of 18. So I think we've got it in the right structure here, so we're walking before we run. The department is going to have ample time to get all their ducks in a row, and we'll have another chance to see whether or not we've gotten everything just right before this moves forward. So I think we've got it in the right direction. It's needed, Mr. Vice President, and I ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Any further discussion on House Bill 230? House Bill 230 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Excused.
Boner excused. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? No. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll? Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Excused.
Excused. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 22 aye, 6 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 230, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 230 has passed the Senate. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 236. You really do want this? Third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 236, engrossed. School Finance Omnibus Education Funding, sponsored by the House Education Committee, an act relating to school finance.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 236, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 33, lines 7 through 23.
Senator Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice President. I move third reading amendment number 3, number 1 to House Bill 236, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. Vice President, this amendment may look familiar to those in the body.
It has to do with the select committee of 10 that will be appointed to do the recalibration. And right now, the current in the current bill, it says that it shall be the chairman of the appropriations committee. What this amendment does is strikes that and says and makes it any member of the House Appropriations Committee. There are members of the committee who would like to be on the recalibration bill and, frankly, know more about school funding than I do. And also, this still, as I said yesterday, this also gives the president more freedom when he is choosing the committee.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number one? Seeing none, all those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 236 has been adopted. Where there is another amendment, would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, third reading amendment number two to engrossed copy, page 25, line 17.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number third reading amendment number two to House Bill 236 and ask for this body's favorable consideration. This amendment seems pretty simple, but it's fairly important, and I'd ask you to look at a particular graph that you should have received in your inbox this morning. And back in 2005, when we had our consultants endorsing our funding model, they had contemplated a curvilinear curve to address how some of these funding issues would be addressed when it comes to school activities. And so in our 236, we have the word linearly. And so if you look at your chart, you'll see a gray line, which is the curvilinear. And if we didn't have that word linearly in the bill, that's how the model would contemplate these reductions going into effect. By having the word linearly, we would go to a model of the orange line, and you see it would just be a direct line. The gap between those two lines, fellow senators, is estimated to cost the state about $11 million per year. And so the intent is to be consistent with what the consultants had recommended when they when they helped us put together our model, and so I'd ask for your favorable consideration and happy to hopefully address any questions that you might have.
We're on third reading amendment number two, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Where do we see in the model the curvilinear line would be the system used if we take away linearly? Because what we have right now already in place is the absence of the word linearly, is the suggestion that we've been behaving that way currently and that that's elsewhere within the model. Maybe I missed that somewhere, but I'm still not certain that we're shifting it that way. If we could get more explanation for where in the model it describes the curvilinear structure.
Further questions, discussion on third reading amendment number two? Seeing none, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This issue was brought to us by legal counsel, and it was based on language in Appendix E, which is the memo on student activities. The word linearly, there was a question about where and why that was added to this particular bill, and no one seemed to come up with that answer, and it's inconsistent with Appendix E that I was looking at. So I'd ask again for your favorable consideration.
We're voting on third reading amendment number two. All those in favor of third reading amendment number two to House Bill 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number two to House Bill 236 has been adopted. There is another amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, third reading amendment number three to engrossed copy. Delete the first.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number three to House Bill 236 and ask the body's favorable consideration as well as a lot of thought and consideration about this policy choice, because this is a significant amendment that has hundreds of millions of dollars of implications. It has the opportunity for us to leave here during this session with something that looks more like a solution to the education revenue shortfall rather than just kicking the ball down the road and recalibrating. It certainly doesn't preclude recalibration. We would still recalibrate. But what this amendment basically does is it enact the discussion that the subcommittee had that prepared the white paper, creating a five-part approach to education funding and filling each of those portions, the five pieces, to the full level. So to go through what this actually accomplishes, you see at the beginning of the amendment deletes first co-second reading amendment, and then it, for the most part, deletes the land and second reading amendment with some additional amendments below. And what that does, those two amendments, as you recall, were pieces of revenue. The co-amendment was the 1% statutory diversion, which instead of having it go into the general fund would have gone actually into the general fund, but then a like amount would have been taken from the general fund over to the school foundation program. So that would be restored. That's around $80 million. The second component you see here is talking about the guarantee of the second 2.5% of the spending policy amount, which is again around $80 million. There would still be around $70 or $80 million taken out of the LISRA, which is again consistent with the white paper. What this does is restore the cuts, or the cuts currently are at about $75 million. We heard a figure of $25 million the other day, but as House Bill 236 stands right now, it's $75 million worth of cuts. Because the cuts for the health insurance, those ghost employees, are pretty significant. That's where the rest of that money comes from. There's a few different parts. There's instructional facilitators. There's the ECA. There's the change to the model, which is around $22 million. And then the ghost employee health insurance aspect is another $30-ish million. The total of all of it is about $75 million, where the target from the white paper was $80 million. So, Mr. Vice President, it's pretty close. We could have added back in, which this doesn't do, the portional ADM. This does not touch that because there was a lot of discussion on that, so I left this out of the amendment. But we're at $75 million in cuts, $80 million from the 1% statutory diversion, around $80 million from the 2.5% guarantee, a little bit of money out of the LISRA. But the other thing this does is a serious revenue enhancer. What we had before it was stripped out was a 0.5% sales tax, which would have been implemented when the LISRA drops below $500 million. But we know that we're in a crisis now, and we know from the discussion of the last few days, the serious discussion, that we are nowhere near where we want to be, Mr. Vice President, when it comes to school capital construction. This solution targets both capital construction and the school foundation program account by having 1% of additional sales tax. A 1% sales tax increase immediately. There's no trigger. It is as soon as July 1st, 2017, that would go into effect. But it works a little bit differently than what we've seen before. 0.5% goes to school capital construction for the purpose of major maintenance as well as additional construction. That's around $80 million a year. We have had passionate debate on this floor over the fact that there is no money available for school capital construction. Recalibration does not address that. There has been nothing raised so far during this session, Mr. President, that in any way addresses school capital construction. This would be a 0.5% towards that. The other 0.5% goes towards the school foundation program account, shoring up the rest of the shortfall, $80 million additional, which gets us where we need to be. What happens when we have sufficient revenues through assessed valuation that there's robust income to the school foundation program account is that the 0.5% that would be enacted here that would be going towards the school foundation program account would toggle over to school capital construction. We would then have sufficient funds available for school CapCon moving forward into the future. It's a solution for CapCon. It is a short to medium term solution for school foundation program account. And I think it's worth this body having the debate where we have a solution on the table, Mr. Vice President, rather than just kicking the ball down the road on and for the amendment.
We're on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 236. Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, on and against the amendment. this goes pretty much against everything we've already discussed at least once. If you start with a coal amendment, that was a 1% diversion. We took that out. The Lannan amendment was the spending policy 2.5%. But the real change, obviously, in this amendment is it puts a penny back in the sales tax format. I have to go to school CapCon, have to go to school foundation program. I submit to the Senate, and, you know, we've been saying this all along, we're going to recalibrate. But in this particular case, we have schools funded through the biennium right now. So if we want to come back next year after recalibration and say, you know, maybe we need to look at revenue raisers, we can do that. So, you know, I could divide this amendment and we could be here till 7 or 8 o'clock, but I'm not going to do that. I just ask that you defeat the amendment. The sponsor has good intentions with it. He's a wonderful member on the Education Committee, but this is not the time or the place to be doing this with where we are in this process. So I ask that you defeat the amendment.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number 3. Seeing none, we're going to do a roll call vote. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just clarify a couple of additional points based on what my good friend chairman of the Education Committee has raised. We're not funded through the biennium. I hope that's clear to everybody here. We have a rainy day account in the school foundation program that began the biennium at $550 million. We are going to burn through it in its entirety over this biennium. That's why we're funded. That's the only reason. So we make it because we burn our savings account totally. And yes, we can limp our way across that finish line. Or we can take action now. There is no recalibration that can fix school CapCon. There is no solution. It's not a panacea. I've been through recalibration, as some others here have. There's no magic to it. At the end of the recalibration, we still have to pay for schools. We still have to pay for capital construction. We might be able to reduce the amount we have to pay, but the idea that we can just kick the ball down the road and suddenly it's solved it's hopeful. I would love it if that were true, but it's not pragmatic, and it's not what's going to take place. The only solution that this body has seen to the dual problems of the school foundation program account and school facilities and major maintenance, sufficient funding for carry that we've been discussing, for the other schools, for major maintenance to make sure that our schools continue to perform and operate at their high level, the only option on the table is this amendment right here. Everything we do afterwards is going to move us further away from it. All of the other alternatives simply acknowledge there's a problem, but push the solution off into the future, Mr. Vice President. I would encourage the body to adopt something that actually has a chance of solving this problem or taking us towards a solution rather than just going along with the cut, cut, cut mentality that I think we all know is not going to be beneficial to any of our constituents. After all of the debates we've heard on school facilities and capital construction, for us to leave here with literally no possibility for any type of solution for major maintenance or any of our schools beyond the $3.2 million we get each year from federal mineral royalties would be unfortunate. But, Mr. Vice President, I'm afraid that's the direction we might go. I hope the body will support this and keep alive some possibility of a reasonable solution as we move out of this session. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. We're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 236, and the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Downton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard? No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
Christensen? No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No. Hastert?
No.
Aye. Hastert, aye. Hicks? No. Kinski? No. Landon? No. Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
No.
Nethercott? No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
Peterson? No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout? Excused?
Excused.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 5 ayes, 24 noes, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 236 has failed. There is another amendment. Would the chief or the reader please read the amendment in?
House Bill 236, third reading amendment number 4 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 5.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Vice President, I would move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236. Mr. President, the thrust of this amendment is to eliminate the cut to the health insurance, and let's kind of talk about that a little bit. It's fairly simple. Page 12, after line 2, we delete the first Senate Standing Committee amendment, which was the entire health insurance piece, health insurance reimbursement piece. And then page 40, after line 21, we delete the first Senate Standing Committee amendment, which leaves the funds in place necessary to reimburse the districts for the health insurance. And the rationale is this. As we've worked through this process, this bill is $71 million to $75 million in immediate cuts. This health insurance is right away. And I know I've been thinking, and as I think a number of us have been, that this is quite a bit for the district to swallow right away. And maybe what we need to do is let's keep some significant cuts in here. Without the health insurance piece, we're still looking at $37 million worth of cuts. And then let's come back and look at the health insurance piece and recalibration. We've still got significant cuts in there. We think that these cuts of $37 million are constitutionally defensible the way that they're structured in the bill. That $37 million gets us closer to the Senate position, what we're looking for, and still keeps us constitutional. We trust and hope and believe that when it gets to the House side, they'll agree with us. And it puts us in a better position going into recalibration. Reins in the spending, keeps a little bit tighter than what we've got in the budget bill. And the districts, we believe, clearly understand that they've got to start reining in their spending very, very quickly. They've already got that underway. If we ease up on it a little bit, gives them a chance to get onto a glide path towards where we think we need to be. And I'm pleased to have my two colleagues on the amendment with me. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
We're on third reading, amendment number 4. Senator Landon?
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just real quickly, I jumped onto this amendment because I have the same sentiments as my friend from Sheridan. We're asking an awful lot out of the districts. By the same token, the default position, which I fear we will probably gravitate to, that we all know exists in the budget, this gives us an opportunity, I think, to present some reductions in the school funding formula that we can send down to the other end of the building and have a chance with to get us perhaps up off of that $25 million figure. I think if we leave this in there, this health insurance piece, I think it's a little bit too rich. It's going to get thrown out anyway. I think this will clean up the bill and send something down to the other end that has a chance, Mr. Vice President. And it does give our districts a little bit of breathing room and some time to react to this thing. So that's why I signed on. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion. Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, on and in favor of the amendment, you see my name on here. And really what we're trying to do is to end up with something that we can go down the hall that's more constitutional. And this particular segment of what we're doing here is probably the marginal part of our legal counsel being able to defend in court. So, you know, this puts us about five and a half million over what HB 236 had in cuts when it came down here. Ask that you support the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, my name's not on this amendment, but I'm for it.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll. Further discussion on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236. Senator Kinski, would you like another? Nope. Good. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll? We're voting on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Voner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout excused. Closing vote?
Barnard, no
to aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 22 aye, 7 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 236 has been adopted. There is one more amendment. Would Chief Reading Clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, third reading amendment number 5 to engrossed copy. Delete the...
Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 5 to House, Bill, House Bill 236. This, you know, this amendment is to further rescue my good friend, the chairman of appropriations from Bighorn, that's overworked. He's, you know, he's overworked like crazy and does a good job with what he does. But what this really does, this allows the Senate president and the speaker to appoint this particular position as one of the 5 in each body. So I'm sure that the good chairman from Bighorn will vote for this amendment. If he doesn't, I have no idea why he wouldn't do this. Urge that you adopt the amendment.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 236. Seeing none, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
No.
Third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 236 has been adopted. Division not having been called. We're back on the bill. House Bill 236 having been read 3 separate times, unless there's further discussion, my mistake. House Bill 236 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Voner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
House Bill 236, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 236 has passed the Senate. We have another bill for our consideration, House Bill 288, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 288, engrossed game and fish fees, sponsored by the House Appropriations Committee, an act relating to game and fish.
There is an amendment with it. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 288, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy. Delete the...
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 288. Mr. Vice President, this would delete the program of resident preference points that was put on in the second reading amendment. What we're trying to do is trying to get here is a clean fee increase bill to get back down the House. Resident preference points is a highly controversial topic, and it has been since I first entered the Senate, my first year on TRW. It usually breaks down to about 50% are for it, 50% against it. Those who are against it are really against it, and those who are for it are really for it. So I'm afraid that if you keep this program in this bill, you may actually take away half of your potential vote on the bill and probably kill the bill in the meantime. This is basically a clean fee bill. If we want to address resident preference points, let TRW look at it in the interim and bring a separate bill next session. Thank you.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Let's not go for Chicken Little here. The sky's not falling. We go to conference all the time on bills. We made a good move yesterday. We put this in. It is a deal that's a 50-50 deal. We get a chance to see where the House stands on. It's not the end of the world. We voted for it. It's a good amendment. And preference points are something that, once again, will help fill the gap. This adds another $300,000 a year back into the game and fish coffers. I ask you for an aye vote.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number 1, 288, Senator Hicks.
Mr. Vice President, just for the body's edification, this will generate about $325,000 of additional revenue. And the important point is that it's voluntary. It's not a mandatory contribution if you want to participate in this program. As a resident, you still can hunt every year in the state of Wyoming and buy a general license or leftover licenses. And you don't have to buy a preference point. It's a completely voluntary program. It's up to the sportsman whether they do or do not want to participate, and it'll generate about $325,000 a year on and against the amendment.
Senator Kinski.
On and for the amendment, I'm afraid that this is a poison pill. If we're going to have this fee bill, which I'm not a big fan of, but I'm afraid the preference points confuses the issue. It's, you know, hunters and sportsmen are split down the middle. There's a lot of merit for it, but it confuses what we're trying to do on this. Let's get this thing, if we're going to pass this thing, let's do it without confusing it with the preference points on and for the Burns Amendment.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, just real quickly on and for the amendment, I too have received several emails. I think it really does cloud the issue. I've had some constituents back home just express a real concern that some of their kids might be 120 years old before they could hunt a bighorn sheep, and they don't think they're going to live that long. And so as much as I appreciate the knowledge base that my two friends bring to this, I think it's better suited for an interim topic to really take a look at residents' preference points as opposed to putting it in a fee bill that we really do kind of need. We need to take a pretty clean bill down to the other end. So on and for the amendment.
Senator Coe, did you have? Senator Barnard.
Mr. Vice President, I'm rising against this amendment. We've kicked resident points down the aisle a long time, preference points. I am an old guy. I can't say my exact age, but I was a young kid, but when I was a young kid, the Dead Sea was just getting sick, okay? So I've been in this state for and applied for licenses since I moved back in 1976. I've applied for the same areas over and over. I've never got them. I know several people who have gotten these areas. These are choice areas where you're guaranteed to get a great big bull elk. And I know several people of my own acquaintances that have got this four times. It's not fair. These things that people are getting on the internet about their kids not being able to hunt sheep, or whatever, is I think very wrong. Everybody's on an equal place here, but we need to provide a way for residents, people, to be able to have a preference points, build these up, and someday be able to partake of some of these choice areas in our state. And it's not happening now. So please defeat this amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, briefly on and in favor of the amendment, and I only have one comment about it. It's about our young people that want to participate. And one of the things that we're struggling with, licenses are down about 11%, purchased by residents. And our young people are the ones that we want to get involved. And I think the good senator from Casper is exactly right. I think basically with the point system, you could live to be 120 years old and not draw one. So I ask that you support the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Driscoll, this is for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for my second time. I'd like to correct some really bad misunderstandings we already had. So back to the comments from the great city of Casper. This preference point bill has nothing to do with sheep. They'll still be 120 years old when they draw because we already have preference points for residents on sheep, goats, and moose. Those three are already in place. It's a process that's been there for many years. The people like it, people don't like it, but it does. What this does not take it away from the kids. 25% of licenses are still there for a general draw. And you got to keep in mind nearly all the areas in the state are not the 20 or 30 or 50 to 1 draw areas. Those are the trophy areas that the great senator from down in the southeast southwest was talking about. Those areas have always been hard to draw and they're tough. For the normal areas, they're going to take two preference points or three, and every youth that wants them can get them. If they want to come hunt deer, the northeast area, they can buy licenses 20 at a time up there. They're available in big blocks. Extra antelope licenses are available all over the state, as are elk licenses. So for anybody that's telling you that this is denying opportunity to youth, it's not. What we have done is denied opportunity to the people that are unlucky. We've got a senator sitting over here that obviously could not win the lottery for any reason whatsoever. We're giving him a chance to where he could actually get in and do something by staying. What we're doing now is penalizing the hunters that put in for 20, 30, 40 years and never draw while someone else draws four or five times. Now, back to the last point, as far as the other house. If you guys all want to turn and run from the other side, that's fine. But that's not been our process over here. We pass bills on our side. They stand on their own. We'll go to conference and fix them. I can assure you this is not a poison pill. Poison pills, we see those happen. This is not one. I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you this is not a poison pill. So if you're voting for it because you think it's to kill the bill or it's going to kill it, you are wrong. Please defeat the amendment.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number 1 to 288. Seeing none. Senator Burns, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for the amendment. Mr. Vice President, I think the last number of comments you have heard illustrate the point of why I think we should remove the resident preference point program from this bill. I'm not saying it's a bad program. It may be a great program. But it is a highly controversial issue and a highly controversial program. And the idea of putting it in on a second reading amendment on a fee bill so then it'll go down to conference committee does not give the opportunity for the public to actually have any say or input into the idea of whether we're going to put this program forward or not. It's been a controversial issue for the 14 years that I've been in the legislature. And I think that the public should be able to have some input into the resident preference point program for elk and deer. And that's all I'm saying. And so that's why I think it should be removed from this bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 288. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Division haven't been called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 288, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The vote was 18 ayes, 12 noes. Third reading amendment number one, House Bill 288 has been adopted. We're on the bill. Any further discussion on House Bill 288? Seeing none. House Bill 288 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen? Aye. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter? Dockstetter, no. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 aye, 10 no.
House Bill 288, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 288 has passed the Senate.
Well, where are we now? Where's that sheet of mine? Member of the Senate Conference Committee for House Bill 55 will be Chairman Senator Perkins, Senator Peterson, and Senator Nethercott. Good luck on that one. Do we have any more concurrences? Senator Rothfuss, I think we probably ought to do that one. Do you want to, well, come up here and let me talk to you about it for a second. Can I? Yeah, just a second. Which one is it?
233, isn't it? Senator Christensen, you got something you want to talk about?
President, thank you. The report on our conference committee on message number 396 and Senate file, House Bill 231, firearm possession to allow felons antique firearms. We were not able to concur. We did identify some significant challenges that can be fixed, and we'd ask if you'd reappoint an open committee and appoint the same members from the Senate. And we'll come back with a great solution.
Without objection, I will discharge the standing or the Joint Conference Committee report number one, Joint Conference Committee number one, to House Bill 231. House Bill 231, and reappoint the same committee with you as chair. Senator Christensen, who are those three?
Mr. President, that would be Senator Bernard and Senator Case.
Okay, and you're the chairman. Okay, everybody got that? Without objections, done. Senator Rothfuss, are you ready on concurrence on Senate File 77, I believe?
I am, Mr. President.
Just a second, let's grab it. You want to finish this one first? Will the reading clerk please read in message number 439 and Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership.
Message number 439, referencing Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership.
Senator Office.
Mr. President, I move message number 439, which requests concurrence on Senate File number 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership, and ask the body to vote no. Mr. President, the House basically adopted our version, but they added the state treasurer as a member of the oversight committee, but the manner in which they did it raises some constitutional and separation of powers concerns. It's been suggested by our staff that we sit down and try to work through those concerns together, and I hope the body will vote no so that we have the opportunity to do that.
The motion is to concur to message number 439 and Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership, and you've been asked to vote no. If you vote no, you vote to not concur to message number 439. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Cope?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
Nope. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Excused.
Peterson?
Excused.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 28 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur to message number 439 of Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Memberships. Senator Office, after that success on that particular concurrence vote, I'm going to ask you to do more of them. It worked out just right.
Yeah, I'm 1-0 on those,
Chris. Mr. Vice President, our floor leader is excused. Why don't you go over and grab the sheet? Because that clears my desk. Mr. Vice President. I believe the motion is to adjourn.
Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until, do you want to come in it? Till 10 a.m. tomorrow, March 2nd.
Announcements. Announcements? Senator Burns.
Will Management Council be meeting today upon adjournment to discuss interim topics?
Does anybody know what's going on at the other end of the building? If it's like anything we've seen in the past, not that I would say that we will not be. Senator Von Flatern, what do you think?
Mr. President, I think that somebody maybe go down there and ask would be a good idea. So,
Senator Haster, would you run down there? We will stand at ease until he sprints down to the other end. So the we can't do that. We got a motion on the floor. We'll just stand here for a second. Stretch.
Break in the house or not?
While we're waiting, Senator Christensen, why don't you gather up a couple of those people and come talk to me?
Did you ever send that conference message over on 137?
Well, I want to talk to you.
Mr. President, the...
It will come to order. Senator Haster.
The majority leader said at least 45 minutes before they're done. At least.
Okay, Management Council will meet at 5 p.m. Would you make that announcement, please, Senator Von Flatern?
No. No. Tomorrow.
For 1 hour.
Why didn't you? Mr. President, the announcement will be that Management Council will meet at 5 o'clock.
4:45.
At 4:45 over in J or 51. L54. That's the big room. So we'll meet there at 4:45.
And, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we have a motion on the floor to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow. Okay, Volhert, Senator Burns, announcements.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, could I have the Joint Appropriations Committee gather around me upon adjournment?
Okay, any other announcements? You heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The Senate is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, March 2nd.